Welcome to the Talk Birdie to Me podcast. This is Bird Dog Banner with Emily, and that's me. This is an informal but educational discussion on dog-related topics. We'll cover everything from waterfowl and upland hunting to training tips and even some controversial topics from a dog trainer's perspective. If you like what you hear, please be sure to subscribe and follow me on social media at Short Hairs and Shotguns and also at Horizon Retrievers. Welcome to episode 15 of the Talk Birdie to Me podcast. It has been a very long time since I've recorded an episode. Part of that is because I've been super busy. I don't want to go into too many details about my life and all that's been going on because that's boring, but it's a very busy time of year for bird dog trainers while we're trying to not only make time to hunt our own dogs, but really work with a bunch of bird dogs. So September through January, February are always very busy for that reason. But also, if you follow me on social media, you've seen that I've had Puppy Rush, the little English Cocker Spaniel, who's been awesome. She spent 6 or 7 weeks with me, actually went home today. So I've been busy with a puppy. I've been busy with client dogs. Blitz was lame for a little while. I was busy hand walking her, which was a job in itself. And Ember was sick. So if you follow me on social media, you saw that on January 1st, Ember was admitted to NC State. Her liver enzymes were really, really high, very scary. She was incredibly sick. But after 3 nights there, she finally got to come home. Their best guess is that she got into something toxic in the environment, like potentially cyanobacteria. No way to prove that, but that was the attending vet's best guess at NC State. Dealing with that has been a lot on my plate, and I just haven't been able to make a whole lot of time for podcast episodes. But I mentioned that because I think it's very relevant to this episode. This episode was something I had in my notes prior to Ember getting sick, but I feel like it is significantly more relevant after that experience. I'll be honest, I've never experienced something so scary like that. I mean, Blitz is constantly getting hurt and at the vet, and you might know that she impaled herself last January, and that was super scary. I thought she was gonna bleed out, but at the end of the day, once it was clear that she wasn't gonna bleed out, she was fine, everything was fine. Having Ember be admitted to the hospital and knowing there wasn't a whole lot we could do but hope that she could recover, you know, and support her system with fluids and nausea meds and all that, there wasn't a whole lot we could do. That was terrifying on a whole new level that I haven't experienced. So this episode is a discussion of dog ownership and the decisions we make in order to keep our dogs happy and healthy, and essentially the shame and guilt that can come along with it. I'm not sure how many people relate to this. Maybe this is a very specific problem, or maybe a lot of people feel this and it's just not something I ever hear people talk about. So that's why I want to talk about it. I think about it a lot. It's something that's constantly on my mind, and I hope that through this podcast, you know, maybe we have a way of connecting about this or supporting each other or maybe helping each other find solutions for this feeling. But anyways, let me start this podcast by saying that it's silly to think that we're all dealt similar hands with similar opportunities. Whether we're talking about dogs or not, we all know that that's the truth and that it's insane to think that everything is fair. I think it's, you know, a pretty well understood concept, but I recognize that I have the ability to give my dogs a lot of things that others cannot. But there are also a lot of people out there that can provide things and do things with their dogs that I cannot. I'm sure we're all in that boat. I don't think there would be a person out there listening to this who can't say they have the ability to do things that others can't, but still don't feel like they can do everything they want to do. I feel like that's probably a very standard human experience. But I think that's an important perspective to keep and to be aware of and check in with. Chances are, if you're listening to this podcast, there's the potential that you relate, but my dogs and their lifestyle and their happiness and their well-being is a really huge priority of mine and takes up a lot of my headspace. It's something that I'm always thinking about, always working on. And I recognize that I am obviously more in the depths of this than a lot of people who, you know, have normal jobs and not eight dogs in their house all the time. But it's obviously at the forefront of my thoughts constantly. It's something that I take very, very seriously and can be particularly hard on myself about. And especially hard on myself if I don't feel like I'm living up to it and it being doing the best I can for my dogs. So this shows up for me in particular in a few areas. So for one, obviously their everyday lifestyle. For two, their fulfillment. And for three, the opportunities I can provide for them and their overall quality of life. So for me personally, everything I do is often filtered through a lens of how will this affect my dogs? Will this benefit my dogs? Is this good for my dogs? Will this make my dogs happy? And so on. And a big chunk of that is their health, which is why I spend so much time and money on their raw diet. Sometimes I feel like that is ridiculous that I have such limited time here on earth and I spend so much of it up to my eyeballs in tripe and kidneys and other various meats that I'm weighing out on a scale and portioning up for my dogs when I don't even meal prep for myself. But that is part, a very big part of my life, because that is something I am very passionate about in regard to feeling good about doing the best that I can for their health. As far as fulfillment goes, that boils down to my desire to provide them with the best, most fun, happiest life I can. And that's the driving force behind a lot of my decisions. You know, I didn't even hunt before I got Blitz, but as soon as I saw how much Blitz loves birds and loves hunting, literally everything, I just knew I couldn't live with myself if I didn't allow her to have a life where she got to fulfill that side of things and where she got to hunt a lot and be around a lot of birds and so on. But in some ways, I feel like I am chasing the curve. Meaning, the harder and harder I work to try and provide the best health for them, provide the best life, make them the happiest, have the most fulfillment, there's always this lack or not being good enough. And I know a lot of that has to do with social media and being able to see all the other cool, fun things that people get to do with their dogs. And then feeling like I am falling short in areas or not doing enough no matter how much I do. And so this episode is going to be about that. So when I think of my dog's lifestyle, I feel like we're pretty lucky. And I try to be very grateful for that and very aware of how lucky we are. I know that not everyone has the opportunity to spend as much time with their dogs as I do, and that is like at the forefront of my gratitude journal every day. How cool is it that I get to spend so much time with my dogs? I never, ever want to take that for granted. But there's still a lot I feel like I come up short on or wish that was different. Namely not living on, 1,000 acres out west for Blitz. We have a couple acres here and she gets to go do a lot, but I would never not feel some sort of guilt for not providing that lifestyle for her, because that is 100% what she wants and what she deserves. And is one of the main reasons I'll never own another short hair, because the shame I feel for keeping her in a semi-rural area in North Carolina versus being on a bunch of property out west is pretty significant. That shame is something that used to weigh heavier on me than it does now, but I just don't feel like she'll ever live her best life here versus if she were somewhere out west getting to run around significant acreage and hunt and do all those things all the time. She loves to be outside, especially when the weather is nice, and even when it's not, even when it's raining, she's going to be sitting out on the porch. But when the weather's nice, she will be outside from sunup to sundown, and sometimes out overnight if I can't get her to come back in. She loves to be outside, and I just wish that I could provide more for her in that regard. And I can't imagine. 50 acres is like a good amount for her, but I can't imagine how awesome it would be for her to have some serious acreage and to hunt wild birds on a regular basis and do those kinds of things. And it definitely is one of the main reasons I won't want another short hair, because I feel like it is such a, I don't want to say tragic because that's being a little bit dramatic, but it, when I look at her life, and I know she's got a good life, logically, I can see that, but I definitely feel some shame for not being able to provide her with the best life in that regard. And that would be, the ultimate goal is for her to live the best life, and I know that will never be on a couple acres in North Carolina compared to being somewhere out west. Ember, on the other hand, would be, she's so easy. She could live in a cardboard box, and if I was in that cardboard box with her, she would be just as happy as literally any other place on earth. So part of the reason why I enjoy my lab so much is for that reason. I never feel any ounce of shame or guilt as far as what kind of property we have and those kinds of things, because she's just going to be happy to be with me. Blitz is very much not like that. And again, I know that a lot of people have short hairs and very few have access to situations like that, but maybe it's just me personally. I don't know. There's some huge desire for me, for her. There's some huge desire for me to make sure that she's fulfilled in that regard. And I know nothing would ever compare to that opportunity. And that being said, I do put in a big effort to give both Blitz and Ember plenty of opportunities to run around, to be outside, to go swimming, all those things. I don't think there's anything that dogs should enjoy more than being outside and chewing on sticks and jumping in the water and chasing things. And I'm really lucky that I get to provide them with so many opportunities to do that. I think all dogs deserve that. And of course, they are a product of their environment. When you raise a dog inside, they enjoy being inside. And that's something we can do to condition them to our lifestyle, but I try to condition myself to their lifestyle as much as possible. And I think a lot of short hair owners can relate to that when we say that, it's not just owning a short hair, it's a lifestyle. If you don't want to be out in the cold and the wind and the rain, still exercising your dog, short hair is certainly not the breed for you, but I see a lot of people do their best to provide them fulfillment even in the worst of weather, and kudos to them, because their dogs are really lucky that they have a person that's willing to do those things. But I think it's so important, and that is something I put a huge effort in, but can feel really guilty about when I'm not able to provide it. So, you know, a lot of what I'm able to do with my dogs outside depends on me going somewhere else, which is a huge commitment. So, you know, I have to drive somewhere to a friend's farm or to game lands a lot. And, you know, sometimes the game lands are open on specific days of the week, or sometimes I don't have opportunities to take them somewhere, or I've got other things to do and I don't have time for that. So as much as I try to provide them plenty of opportunities to run around and sniff and explore and play and get their energy out and fulfill some of their breed desires, it is exhausting for me, for sure. But as I mentioned on my mental and emotional health podcast, I think that's really, really valuable to be able to provide that for our dogs. I think that's something that you can't replace in other ways. No sniffing exercise, no snuffle mat, no Kong is going to replace that. And so I make a huge effort to make that a daily part of their life, because I think it is such a, it has a, such a big impact on a dog's overall happiness. And for the most part, my dogs get to do a lot of that. I'd say, you know, on the regular, and this goes for my client dogs too, we try to do one big event a day, and I try to always give them the opportunity to run around and get their crazies out. But it is really time consuming and very exhausting. And when I see people that have access to that stuff on the daily basis, you know, they can just open up their door and their dogs can go run and swim and play. There's definitely some jealousy in that. And it makes me feel a little bit of shame and guilt for my dogs that I don't have more opportunities for them. But again, I know that there are other dogs out there that don't get to do those things on a daily basis. And I'm glad that my dogs get to do what they get to do when I can provide it for them. Another area that I really focus on is fulfillment. And so for me, that's giving my hunting dogs the opportunity to hunt. And for whatever reason, no matter what I do here, it never feels like it's enough, and is never enough for me to not feel guilty over. And so let me say that any hunting dog is lucky to do any hunting thing. And that's something I preach to my clients all the time. You know, there are a lot of people out there that boohoo preserve hunting and those kinds of things. And I'm always like, hey, if you're going to take your dog to a preserve versus not take it hunting at all, good for you. That's a lucky dog, because essentially any bird dog would prefer to go preserve hunting than anything. Would prefer to go preserve hunting than nothing. They would much rather be out there on the preserve than on the couch. So any hunting is better than none, but I, for some reason, always feel fairly guilty about not doing enough bird things, especially with Blitz. You know, I changed my whole lifestyle for her. When I got a short hair, I had no desire to do anything hunting. And then before I know it, I sold my horses and my horse farm and moved to Kansas in order to do more bird things with her. I hunt her as much as I can. I hunt Ember as much as I can, but we live in North Carolina, and that's not somewhere that's known for, especially our part of North Carolina, isn't known for any great hunting, whether that's waterfowl or upland. You know, it's a little bit of a different situation on the coast and such, but the part we live in is not notable for hunting compared to being something like Kansas. And I definitely feel guilt over that. Like, here I am with these bird dogs in the middle of North Carolina with rarely birds around, and that feels very heavy. And so I do my best to provide opportunities, but when you see people that live out west, or, you know, in for upland hunting closer to serious woodcock cover or grouse cover and they do all this fun hunting, or they can take their dog out after work. I'm just like, oh my gosh, like what a disservice to my dogs to live in North Carolina. And I know it, at the end of the day, it's really not, because they're lucky to get to do what they get to do. Like I said, even if it's just going to the preserve, that's better than the, I don't know, thousands of short hairs that live in pet homes that never have an opportunity to leave their backyard. Short hairs and labs. So what they get to do is, I should feel lucky for those opportunities. But at the end of the day, I definitely feel guilt that I do not live somewhere where they have more opportunities than they do. And, you know, even I took Ember to Canada in September, and she got a whole bunch of retrieves. It was awesome. And then we went to Kansas, and she got a whole bunch of retrieves there too. And it still doesn't feel like enough. And I've recognized that it's not so much about the number of birds maybe as it is the opportunities. Like someone once mentioned to me how many more days their dog has hunted compared to Ember. And the intention was to just compare experience there. There was nothing bad about it. It wasn't meant to be hurtful, but it certainly was really hurtful. It was like just a straight dagger hitting me in the most sensitive spot. It made me sick with guilt. Just the shame from that comment I felt for not providing her more, for her not having more opportunities. Just that will always live with me, right under my skin, always easy to access, because that is one of the more, what's the phrase I'm looking for here? One of the more prominent things that I've think about is not providing enough opportunities for her. So even though that comment had no ill intent, it made me very, very ill. And logically, Ember has had a lot of opportunities to hunt, and she has a really great life. There's no doubt about it. But the feeling of it not being enough is always there. And I feel the same with Blitz, especially as she ages. I worry that, you know, maybe she hasn't had as many opportunities as she should have. But I think it stems from a place of, I just love them both so much, and I think they both deserve everything they want. And it's hard to feel like I'm not able to provide them with everything they deserve. But one area I think we can utilize to provide more opportunities for our dogs is to do sports with them. So for like hunting dogs, participating in training and hunt tests is a way to provide them with more opportunities when we don't have access to hunting them more. You know, it's one thing if you live out west and you have a bunch of property and you can take your dog out after work or whatever and go hunting. But if you live in semi-rural North Carolina without property, that's not really an option. So these hunt tests are a way to provide them with opportunities that we might not otherwise have. And again, I know people boohoo that there are a lot of hunters out there that go, oh, I don't hunt test my dog, I'm a real hunter. And that sat weird with me for a long time. But the more I'm around it, the less uncomfortable it makes me, meaning there will always be people out there that want to hunt their dogs, and I empathize with that. That is 100% how I feel. But I also empathize with the people that don't have the opportunities to do that on a regular basis, and they would like to provide something for their dogs, which is better than nothing. You know, I've been very conflicted over competing my dogs, and this goes from the beginning of Blitz to recently with Ember. Our whole lives together, I've been on the fence on if I even enjoy competing them or not. Some of that's because I'm not a very competitive person, which I've known for a long time. Even back when I had horses, everyone my age was competing them, and I just wanted to trail ride and run around bareback and feed them and wasn't really into competing. I feel that way with my dogs a lot, but I also feel like it's weird when you're talking about horses or dogs and you're doing some sort of training with them and you don't have significant goals in mind to accomplish. So what's the point of doing hunt test training if you're not going to hunt test them? And that's where I think providing them with opportunities comes in. I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting your dog to have fun and doing what you can in order to provide that. And this has kind of been an area of contention in my business as well. So, you know, people always think that you need to be doing more and more and more, take more dogs for training, hire more people to help, expand your business, and so on. But at the end of the day, that's really not my intention. My priority is my lifestyle and my happiness and my dog's lifestyle and their happiness and my client dog's lifestyle and their happiness. And I have nothing against people who want to do more and have the biggest business and the most dogs and hire a bunch of trainers and so on, but I crave that kind of more laid back, intimate lifestyle that I've made for myself. And I see that as far as hunt testing and being competitive goes, I want to do the fun things with my dogs, but I'm not necessarily concerned with the bigger goal. I feel like there's some implied expectation that dog trainers be competitive, and I understand that. You know, it's for good reason, especially when we're talking about anyone with working dogs, sporting dogs, hunting dogs, those kinds of things. The proof is in the pudding, and if you aren't constantly challenging yourself to do better, you'll stay stagnant in your training. So I respect that, and I believe in it, but it's also somewhat problematic for me because my heart really isn't in it. You know, I never got Blitz or Ember with the intention of just competing them. I got Blitz to be a companion and a farm dog for the horse farm. And it was kind of by accident that we got into hunting, let alone hunt tests. And I really only started hunting her because of how much I saw that she loves it. And then I got Ember to be a fleshing dog in front of Blitz for hunting woodcock. And again, it was almost by accident that we got into hunt tests. And I'm grateful for that because prior to getting Ember, I really didn't have any desire to do any waterfowl hunting. And then I got Ember and still quite wasn't on board with it. But then we got into HRC, the Hunting Retriever Club, which is waterfowl retriever tests. And getting into that kind of inspired me to take her duck hunting. And now that's hands down my absolute favorite thing to do. And so I'm grateful for that retriever hunt test for introducing me to that. But at the end of the day, I like the hunt tests and the training for the opportunities it gives my dogs to have fun, to go find ducks and those kinds of things, but I'm not so set on being competitive that I'm not so sure that being competitive really matters to the dogs. And if I'm doing this for their happiness more so than my own, I don't really think they care on whether or not they compete if they're getting the same opportunities. Meaning if we're training the same, then the competing doesn't really matter. They don't care about the titles and all of that, obviously. But at some point, I've recognized that if you aren't training to compete, you lose inspiration to train. And so maybe I'm not providing them with enough opportunities anymore without being competitive. And that is some food for thought. And I would love to talk to someone about that and see how they address that if anyone is in a similar situation. So even though this podcast and this discussion, as I would call it, was kind of in the works before Ember's health scare, That certainly changed my perspective on a lot. And for one, in regards to their health, I recognize that no matter what you do, no matter what food you feed, no matter how much time and money you spend on their raw diet, no matter what vet you go to, no matter how much time you spend conditioning them or whatever effort you want to invest in them, health scares will happen. Injuries will happen. Snake bites can happen. Toxicity from who knows what that you don't even know how it happened can happen, and so on. So we can either live in fear of all these things and keep our dogs sheltered on the couch where they can still get cancer or other unpreventable diseases, or we can let them live their best life that we can provide for them and kind of roll with the punches. I've always said that if Blitz dies from a snake bite, at least she'll die happy. She's just insane about snakes, and she's been through so many snake aversion clinics and pretends to be averse to them, but there's just something absolutely irresistible to her about a snake that she just cannot help herself. And so, I do my best to prevent it, but what do I do? I mean, there's snakes in my yard, so not let her outside any time of year that there might be snakes. Keep her on a leash, only let her be outside unattended. I just went on and on about the shame I feel for not providing her with enough outside time. I can't imagine what I would feel like if I kept her inside in order to try and prevent her from getting bit by a snake. So that's one of those things where I can either let the fear make me feel shame and guilt in one way, or I can, do the best that I can to prevent snakes, as far as, not letting there be brush piles around and those kinds of things, but just recognize that if she gets bit, she gets bit, and we just have to deal with it from there. It's a hard thing to balance, but there's going to be shame and guilt either way, so I guess you got to pick your poison. And it's an incredibly hard pill for me to swallow that despite my very best efforts to provide the best for my dogs, Ember got so sick. And it was absolutely, absolutely terrible seeing her like that and not being able to do anything to help. I will never not feel some sort of guilt over that. And even though that's unreasonable, I get it because, it's not like I purposefully made her sick. It's in that way not my fault, but not being able to keep her safe. I'm sure, I don't know, maybe, but I'm sure parents have to be able to relate to that. Not being able to keep her safe was very difficult for me to accept at that time. And I feel better about it now, but it's scary moving forward and not knowing exactly what made her sick. But at the same point in time, just like Blitz, I recognize that I can't not let her go outside. I can't not let her run around. I'm not going to not let her swim. I'll do the best I can to keep her out of sketchy water if it was cyanobacteria, or regardless, keep her out of sketchy water. But there's no way I'm telling my Labrador, you can't ever swim again because you might get sick. That's like what she loves most in life. And I guess some risk is always going to come with that. So at the end of the day, we've got to balance providing the most fun, happy life with our dog, for our dogs, with keeping them healthy and safe. And, I'm sure that balance for everyone is a little bit different, but that balance has definitely shifted a little bit for me after seeing Ember be so sick. Because at the end of the day, when I was sitting there and not sure if she was gonna make it through the night, all I could think about was that, well, at least she's had like a super fun hunting season, and I'm really, really glad that I was able to provide that for her.
And it's funny how I went from not feeling like it was enough to being really grateful for the opportunity she had to go to Canada and Kansas and everything that she got to do in North Carolina this year with Parker. Very, very grateful for all of that. And it suddenly turned into being enough when I wasn't sure if she was going to get any more opportunities. The other thing I've recognized since her health scare is that I'm more aware of the fact that my dogs don't see what everyone else is doing on social media. So, you know, when I look at something and I see the fact that someone else's dog is hunting here and hunting there and doing this and doing that, that does not change or affect how much my dogs love the opportunities I provide for them. And that's what matters. You know, I pray that Ember gets to live many, many, many more years and hunt everywhere and do all the fun things and have so many more retrieves. But there's no doubt in my mind that if you asked her to reflect on her few short years, that she would have anything to say other than that she enjoyed the heck out of them. You know, there's plenty of mornings where we go get up when it's still dark and drive to the swamp and sit in the cold and may or may not see a bird fly. And walking out, she'll grab a stick and she will shake it up and she will run around and she will get the bouncy runs and just, you know, be going absolutely nuts. It's the best morning ever. And that's part of the reason why having a lab is so much fun. She has no idea that we didn't see any ducks or that it wasn't as fun as it should have been. She just doesn't even care about any of that. Of course, she loves it when she has the opportunity to, but she's just as excited to grab her stick and run around the field on the way out as she is to go retrieve a duck. So seeing that and appreciating that is something I'm going to try to shift my perspective to versus comparing her opportunities to the opportunities of other dogs, and especially those on social media, when you're only seeing the best of, you know, what else, someone else's life. And also, you know, change maybe my perspective to see my life through my dog's life, which again does not include social media, but Ember is a super happy dog who has a really great life, and trying to appreciate it like she does, I think it's going to be really important moving forward. And finally, what this experience has taught me is that I now feel zero shame in relating to the perceived pressure of what I should be doing with my dogs. If I don't want to compete my dogs, I am not going to waste our few precious years together competing my dogs. I think what we've got, doing fun things together that are fun for both of us is what's important. Life is way too short to be doing things because you feel like you need to. And even if, you know, she enjoys the hunt tests and I don't, there's no way that's not going to flow down the leash to her. There's no way she's going to go, well, especially Ember, this might be different with Blitz, but especially with Ember, if mom's not having fun, it's definitely not going to be as fun for her. Blitz could probably care less. Blitz just wants to do what she wants to do, regardless of how I feel about it. But for Ember, if I'm not enjoying it, she's certainly not going to enjoy it as much. And I think that will shift my perspective and plans on competing her in the future for doing what makes us both happy. And to kind of wrap this all up, let's make an effort to not judge what other people do with their dogs. So, you know, I firmly believe that the majority of dogs want to do as much fun things as they can and fun things with their human, and deserve those opportunities to do more than just spend their life in the backyard or on the couch inside. But what you do with your dog beyond that is up to you and your dog. So if you have a hunting dog, but you just want to take it hiking or whatever, but you do that enough to where you guys are both happy, I think that's really great and should be celebrated. Or if you have a hunting dog and you just want to compete it and not hunt it, or vice versa, you just want to hunt it and not compete it, I don't think there's anything wrong with that as long as you both are happy and having fun. Not everyone has the same goals, and not everyone has the same access to resources and opportunities. I don't think there's any shame in doing the best you can with what you have, whatever that may look like, and I'm going to try to accept that for myself as much as I can, because you can literally only do the best you can do. Like, it's not possible to do anything better than that. You can do the best you can with what you can. So I will wrap this up by saying, if anyone wants to have a discussion on this, I'd love to talk about it. And I hope that you guys can't relate and don't feel shame and guilt. But I also hope that everyone wants to provide the best for their dogs and puts a lot of effort into doing so. And I believe that's it. And hopefully I'll be back with another episode sooner than the gap between my last two.